2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, or if you charged your Bible up last night, open it up. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to waste no time because there's a lot in this text that I want to spend the next few minutes digging into. And I want to preface my comments by saying that I want to obey and preach today like Paul told Timothy, to remain true to the sound doctrine. And I don't want to preach a message, and I hope that I never kind of flirt with the idea to preach a message that will tickle the ears of the people. So I have to say that if you came today hoping for an ear-tickling message, this probably isn't it. Because we have to be real with ourselves at times, and really, sometimes we might get a little bit of a step on the toe or a little bit of a slap in the cheek, but sometimes it's for our own good. And we have to look at this particular text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we have to be honest, we have to be open, we have to be true to who we are and where we are right now. So when you came in today, you came in one state. And that's the state that we want to attack or maybe continue to build up today. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to get into it. And I have to tell you that if you're a note taker, there is a lot in this particular two verses that you can write, that you can remember, that you can write down to hold on to, that you can just study. These two verses, I don't know if I could do justice in the next 20 minutes with them, but we're going to try. We're going to dig into it. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, it says this, "Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." So Paul is writing this second letter to Timothy because a lot of false teaching has taken place, and a lot of people are twisting the words of Jesus and trying to twist the gospel to meet their lifestyle. And it couldn't be ever more true today that we could twist the gospel to love all people. And by loving all people, that means we should be tolerant and accepting of all things and just consider it to be right and true. But the word would tell us that there is only one truth. His name is Jesus. So if our truth doesn't line up with the truth, who is Jesus, then we are actually wrong. And I know in today's world, people don't want to hear that they're wrong because everyone's got their own truth and everyone's right in their own way. But the thing that we have to understand is that if our truth, if our life does not line up with the one truth, the one way, and the one life, then we are actually wrong. So I want to look at this particular text, and it says, "Now in a great house." Well, in a great house is what many believe that Paul is referring to as the church. And look at where we are right now in a church. And Paul talks about vessels, different types of vessels. And what I want you to understand is that you are a vessel. A vessel was kind of like a dish or some kind of utensil in the kitchen that would hold food, it would hold oil, it would hold grain. It was maybe kind of like some of those deals that you buy at Walmart that has the sealed lid that you can put your cereal in and your sugar in, your flour in, and you can pour it out when you need it. But he says there were vessels of gold and silver, but then there were also vessels of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. In this particular text, we can see that there are two types of vessels. So what does that mean for us here in this church, that there are two types of vessels? If you are a vessel, you have to ask yourself, okay, what kind of vessel am I? Because Paul says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, what Paul is saying to Timothy is that those who are twisting the word of the gospel to meet their lifestyle, those who are actually living by false teaching, and also those who are living by the ways of the world, if they would cleanse themselves from that, then what did he say? He said they will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy. So the two types of vessels that we see in today's church, in this church, in every church across the world, two of them. we have clean vessels and we have contaminated vessels. We have clean vessels and we have contaminated vessels. And I want to define clean vessels and contaminated vessels because you are one of the two. That's it. You're a clean vessel or you're contaminated. And I want to get into the definition of each. And we have clean vessels here who have been cleansed. And being cleansed is kind of twofold. Those of us that would be considered clean vessels, cleansed vessels, are those that have truly put our faith and our trust in Jesus. We are those that have called upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord. We have come to a true repentant heart and been washed, been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, our sin, which once defined us, has been paid for, and we believe in our heart. We confess with our mouth that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior. He died on the cross for my sin. He cleansed me. He made me whole. For those of us that completely surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord, we would be cleaned vessels. We would be cleansed by His blood. And then the other part of being cleansed is that it's an ongoing process. Because what you have to see in life is that there is always something the Holy Spirit will work inside of you. So as you surrender your heart and your life to the Lord and you say, okay, I'm no longer living for me. I'm no longer living the ways of my flesh. I'm no longer living according to the desires or the lust of my flesh and of this world. I'm going all in on Jesus. I follow Him. I live for Him. And then what happens is this process, what many call the process of sanctification, in which the Holy Spirit will expose things to you over time, sins or habits or thoughts or lifestyles. And right now they may not seem like very big deals, but 2 or 3 years from now, when you grow closer and closer to Jesus, you might just find yourself on your face feeling completely wrecked in the sight of the Almighty God because of something that isn't a big deal now, but the closer you get to Him, the bigger you realize it actually is, so you constantly are being cleansed. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He is constantly reminding me of things or thoughts or habits or words that I shouldn't say or shouldn't think or shouldn't do. And I would say that every person in this church has felt some sort of conviction from the Holy Spirit, or you wouldn't be here. You would not be here if you didn't feel the Spirit of God pulling on your heart in one way or another. So there is clean vessels, those who have completely surrendered all in, been washed by the blood, been cleansed by the blood, are constantly being cleansed by the Spirit of God working within us. And then the second kind of vessel that we have to understand we may be is contaminated vessels. And for many of us, we have been contaminated at one point, or you may have walked in today contaminated as well. A contaminated vessel is just simply someone who continues to live in sin. Simply put, you continue to live in sin. Week after week, you struggle with the same things, fall to the same addictions, you use the same words, you think the same thoughts, you live life with the same people who constantly pull us down, and they pull us down, and then one day we view something and it's wrong, and then over time we get contaminated with sin, and then we constantly live in it, and then we comfortably live in it, and then it's just who we are. And what happens is contaminated vessels, what happens is people will live according to the temporary satisfactions or fun or enjoyment that sin may bring. But here's the thing. If we live for the temporary satisfaction of sin, then we will live eternity away from our God and our Creator. And God did not create you to be contaminated. He didn't. God created you to bring glory to His name. He created you to bring honor to His name. He created you to fill you up with His Spirit and His power and His love, to show the people around you how good He is and how merciful He is and how loving He is. That's what He created you to do. But so many people are comfortable being contaminated. And one of the scary things about contamination is the longer you live with it, the closer you get to death. The The longer you live contaminated, the closer you get to death. And eventually, for those that continue to live in sin, will pay the wages of their sin. For those who are not cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ as they come into a true repentant heart. And hear me out. I'm not saying true repentant heart, meaning we come to church on Sunday and we say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. I mean true repentant heart where we look at things that once were who we were and we leave them completely behind. It may be people. It may be habits. It may be thoughts. It may be words. It may be lifestyles. If we don't leave sin behind, then we'll never be cleansed. So Paul says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So we've defined that you are one of two vessels. You are clean. You have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and you are constantly being cleansed by the power of the Holy Spirit convicting you, and you obey the promptings, and you obey the conviction. You submit to the convictions, and you're constantly being cleansed. Or we just continue to live in sin, and we enjoy it, and it brings pleasure to us and the temporary satisfactions of it, and we just, that's just who we are. We're contaminated. But you see here, he says, those who cleanse themselves will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy. Set apart as holy is something that's very important, because as you surrender your life and your heart to Jesus by crying upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, saying, Father, I have sinned against you. Forgive me, redeem me, restore me, make me new, transform my mind, create in me a clean heart, oh God. I surrender all. I give you all. As we are set apart, this is what that means, that we are to be different and we are to be set apart from the rest of the world. We are set apart from the world, and we are set apart for the Lord. And whenever you are set apart from the world, then God is able to use you and bless you as He chooses. So let's just ask ourselves right now. Here we are. Hold your hands out with me. This is your life. Some of y'all are dropping it. You know, my life's all over the place. I do this so you wake up. You know, I got to keep you awake doing these little activities throughout the sermon. But this is your life. Let me just ask you this. In your hands, in your life, are you different from the world? Or do you fit right in? If you were to look at the people around you, the choices you make, the thoughts you think, the words you say, the things you do, those that you call friends, just ask yourself, as you look into your hands and look into your life, am I set apart or do I fit right in? I mean, am I really clean? Have I really repented of my sin? Have I really changed the way that I live, or do I just fit right in? And until we are set apart from the world, we can never be set apart for the Lord. We can never be set apart from the Lord, for the Lord, if we continue to just walk in and live in the ways of the world and the desires of my flesh. Can I tell you, Mikhail and I think about this all the time. I wanted to go to college and I wanted to try to play baseball. Had I done that, I would not be where I am right now. Thank God for the path that I didn't really want to walk, but that He called me to walk and prompted me through different people, though I wasn't always living it, prompted me to do this, prompted me to join the military, prompted me to marry a girl that just graduated high school, prompted me to move all the way to North Carolina, and prompted me to move back to Missouri. I would not be here. I think about all of the times that we talk about and the times that I think about, if I had followed the desires of my flesh and the desires of my world and the lust of my flesh, I would not be here. And there are so many people in churches all over the world that are just fitting in right with the rest of the world. Just fitting in. Just walking with them. We've been called to be set apart. And it says useful to the master. The master is simply God, our Father in heaven, who has created you to use you. He has created you for works. He has created you to show love. He has created you for the Great Commission, which is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. That's what you are created for. We are created to share the gospel, the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ that will take us from the fire, from death and hell, and bring us into new life, and bring us into joy, and bring us into peace, and bring us into salvation. That's the gospel message that we have been created to share. But sometimes because of our own contamination, we can never do what He has created us to do. And my heart breaks because this isn't just for Potosi. This is probably every city in the world. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. We have over 3,000 laws in the United States when God gave us 10 to obey. 10. We can't get those 10 right. But if people were truly as cleansed as they claim to be, wouldn't Potosi look different? Wouldn't the world be different if we who consider ourselves to be clean would actually step into the roles and the responsibility that God has called us to walk in, to show love, to reach out a hand, to put food on the tables of those who can't, to put clothes on the backs of those who can't? Wouldn't our life be different if we were actually as clean as we thought we were? And my heart breaks because there are contaminated people thinking that they are clean. And you see it in the church today. You see people who are living in sin, living in brokenness, trying to tell people how to walk in godliness. My heart breaks because people are being misled. People are thinking, oh, if I can just show up on Sunday, everything is good. If I just make it twice a month, everything is good. Listen, we don't take church attendance when you show up. We don't. But God takes heart attendance. We understand life happens. You can't make it to church every year. I'm not going to make it to church every week of every year. In fact, I won't be here next week. I won't be. I wasn't invited to come back next week because the beach called. I've been working on my beach body. It called, man. I got to go. I got to go. We understand that you're not going to be here all the time, but you are called to walk with the Lord all of the time, whether you're on vacation, whether you're camping, whether you're sitting in a pew, or whether you're in the hospital, whether you're at the funeral home seeing someone that you love, or whether you're at the gym. Wherever you are, you have been called to bring glory to His name and to remain clean. And sometimes we live contaminated and try to consider ourselves clean. And that breaks my heart because Paul says that until we are clean, we cannot be set apart as a vessel for honorable use. We are pretty well useless. We're useful or we're useless. And thinking about this, it says, ready for every good work. Ready for every good work. What that simply means is that God wants to do something with you. You. I don't care how you walked in today, or how scared you feel around people, or how little self-confidence you have. God wants you, and He wants to do something in you and through you. He wants you to be ready for the works that He has. There are people that are waiting to hear and see the gospel from your mouth and from your life. People are dying because Christians are contaminated, but think they're clean. We need to be a church, and I mean church as a whole, as the body of Christ. We need to be a church that is truly concerned about seeing contaminated people become cleansed. If we ever exist to just pamper the butts of people who are already clean, we're completely missing out. If we just want to get you here so we can entertain you for an hour and make you laugh a few times and send you on your way with some good kids programs, then that's great, but we're missing out. We need to see people who are contaminated. We need to be a house that continues to love people who are broken and seeing them being saved and being cleansed. And what I wanted to do today, I brought a table with me and I brought something. Sometimes I like to do a little visual. So I brought a big bowl. and I brought water in it. I brought some Dawn. Did you know that when James said every good and perfect gift comes from above, Dawn was in his mind? Because you can do anything with Dawn. You can clean anything with this stuff. I'm not kidding. You can do about anything with this stuff. Dawn and duct tape. It's all you need in life. But I want to just pour a little bit of Dawn in the water. I know you can't see the water. It's just soapy water. Don't get your hopes up. So I brought some Dawn. I brought some water. I brought a towel. You got to have a towel. And I brought a Pioneer Woman dish. Nice, isn't it? Yeah. Bought this for my wife a year ago. But in my Pioneer Woman dish, I left some stuff. And don't judge me, because when I eat my oatmeal every morning, I put flax seeds and chia seeds in it. I'm trying to be healthier, trying to get fit, and those seeds are good fiber and good natural protein and good for detoxing your body. So I left them in there. This is the bowl I ate from this morning. Like, my spoon was all up in this bowl this morning. I'm not kidding. Like, I ate from it. I had my oatmeal. I just want to walk it around so you can see it's nasty, right? Nasty. Sean be like, hey, how many you got in there? I need something. It's just seeds, oatmeal. It's just dirty. Let me ask you this. Have you ever chose to use a dirty dish to prepare a fresh meal? No, we ain't ever chosen a dirty dish. I would never think to use this again. Until when? Until it's clean. All throughout the scriptures, you read of people who were dirty that God called. What did they do? They completely surrendered. They went all in for who he was and what he wanted to do. They didn't remain in their filth. Maybe later on they went back to things. But all throughout the scriptures you read of people who were once contaminated, once dirty, that God cleaned. You read of healings that Jesus performed, that people were broken, people were hurting, people were living in sin. And he healed them. He cleansed them. So to save my wife some work, because this is her job at home, I figured I would clean this myself. I'm just kidding. I do the dishes in my house. You're only allowed to do the dishes in the Keen house once you have completed the 3-week training course to load and unload the dishwasher properly. And to soak dishes until they are clean before they go into the dishwasher. And if you think I'm kidding, just ask my wife or my mother-in-law. But I thought, man, wouldn't that be kind of cool if I took this rag and this water, and what I'm wanting to do is just kind of clean it. But man, this stuff's caked in here. You know, I soak every dish in my house before I put it in the dishwasher. But this one, I didn't, because I needed to use it for an illustration. But I'm getting it. I wanted this to be an illustration because I wanted this bowl of all of this junk in it to be a representation of you and me. You know, and some of these seeds, they get caked in here. Just like some of your habits get stuck with you for years and years. Just like some of those lifestyles you just can't seem to break. They just get caked into who you are. It's become who you are. And here I am scrubbing. You know, it wasn't until I put a little bit of pressure on this rag and into this bowl that anything happened. Just like when the Spirit of God convicts you, it might bring a little bit of tension and it might bring a little bit of pain in a moment, because that's kind of contradicting the way you want to live and the way you want to do things. But the Spirit of God has other plans. And to live as holy and to be set apart may mean that you face a little bit of tension. You may face a little bit of a fight because of the way you want to live isn't the way he wants you to live. And it's not until I apply this pressure, until I do things, that I can actually see a little bit of progress in this bowl. So there I was thinking about, man, this soapy water actually represents to us the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us whiter than snow. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that we are freed and forgiven. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that takes filthy people and frees us. That's what it is. It's nothing you do. See, the vessels are of no use until they're employed by the master. They collect dust. But once they're put to use, they hold things. Just like you were created to hold something. God has given each and every one of us an ability or a talent or gifts that only we may have. And you know what? After a little bit of time and a little bit of progress, I now have what you call a clean bow. Look at that. That's why you must complete the 3-week training course of my house. We do laundry and dishes a very particular way in my household. But now this bowl is clean. Guess what this bowl does? I'm sorry, ladies. You got a little bit of water and soap, but it'll clean right up. Guess where this bowl now goes? Dishwasher. What happens after it goes through the cycle of being cleaned? It's then set apart from the dirty dishes and put into the cabinet, right? And then once it's set apart, it's clean. And after it's clean, guess what I can do with this bowl now? I can use it. And once I use it, it'll get a little dirty. But guess what? I'll put it back in the soapy water. I'll put it back in the dishwasher. And then after about an hour and 15 minutes of being through the cycle and the process of my dishwasher, it'll be clean again. And what that means for us is that, yes, there will be days where we fall short. And there will be days where we end up a little bit filthy and a little bit dirty. But by the power of the Spirit of God convicting us and cleansing us, we will actually be made clean. And we will be cleaned every single day. So this bowl, I'm going to run it through the dishwasher when I get home, and when I wake up tomorrow morning to eat my oatmeal, guess which bowl I'm going to grab? I'm going to grab this one, and I'm going to use it. And after I use it, I'm going to put it in the soapy water. And then after I put it in the soapy water for a little while, I'm going to put it in the dishwasher to use again, and to use again, and to use again. And that is exactly what the blood of Jesus Christ does for us. That is exactly what the Spirit of God does for us. But here's the thing. Can we be real for just a minute? I want us to be real for just a minute, because then we're going to sing a song, we're going to pray, we're going to leave, you're going to go. That dish went from being dirty to being clean. It went from contaminated to cleansed. And I just want us to ask this question before we end today, before we go on our way. Are we still dirty? Are we still living in sin? Are we still feeling broken? Did we come in today trying to sweep things under the rug and just trying to push things down because we don't want anyone to know, or we would be embarrassed? If we were to be exposed on the television screen and there would be on one side cleansed and on the other side contaminated, where would we be? Because I want you to know that God is calling you to bring glory to His name, and we cannot bring glory to His name by living in our sin. He's wanting us to be cleansed. He's wanting you to repent of your sin. He wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. Are you still dirty? And this is what I want us to do as we pray and as we sing. I just ask that if you could spend the next 3-5 minutes being as real as you can with yourself. And I want to give you an opportunity to choose today to surrender everything to Him. I want you to confess. I want you to come, and I want you to be cleansed. The reality is that in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but wood of clay. There are honorable and there are dishonorable. And in this church today, there are clean and contaminated vessels. In every church around the world, there are clean and contaminated vessels. And I want us to ask ourselves, where do we end up? Because my heart breaks for people that do not walk in the life that God came to give you. He put on bone and flesh to die on a cross, to offer you something you can never earn or deserve. So where are we? And as we pray, I just ask that you would remain as respectful as you can and remain as quiet as you can.